Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Nasdaq Dorsey Wright Monday Analyst Discussion for this Monday, July 6th. My name is Ian Saunders, and joining me here this week is Will Gibson. And Will, we're coming in here this week to the first Monday Analyst Discussion that we have here in the second half of 2020. Coming off the holiday weekend, I hope that you had a good fourth, and I hope that everyone joining us here at the beginning of this week had a nice 4th of July this weekend as well. The markets ended at least week last week, the shortened week because of that holiday, with a pretty strong uptrend to kick off the first couple days of the year. And we're coming in here this Monday, continuing that trend with the market up, at least at the time of this recording, still up over 1% on the case of the broader S&P 500. So definitely starting off the second half on a solid footing as we ended the second quarter. Taking a look here, as we do at the end of most quarter, we have a variety of our research pieces coming out here as we begin each quarter, looking at performance reviews and evaluations to see where we sat after the last quarter, what things look like and where that puts us on an annual basis. And so looking here at the Q2 2020 performance overview that we had in the Where You Were section last Wednesday on July 1st, gives a pretty nice broad overview of some major market funds, major market ETFs, looking at representations here from each of the broad six asset classes. And so we can see here that is pretty clear and probably unsurprising to many of you listening that domestic equities led the way pretty significantly there with very strong average returns off of the six funds that we have featured here. Average return of 23.70% over the last 3 months ended there at the end of June. So very strong returns for the space as a whole, but specifically strong performance in many of those more risk-on oriented areas that we see, specifically the momentum fund that we have represented here with PDP, the broader DWA momentum ETF we have with Invesco, and then the small cap focused one, DWAS, actually being the best performer out of those funds that we examined there in the domestic equity space. So definitely interesting to see that the risk-on sentiment that we see carried across each of the asset classes is specifically focused there within the domestic equity space, but then also carried over as well. So internationals, still with strong average performance there, 19.13%. Bringing the space up closer back after a very weak first quarter for the international equity space. Still has a little bit of work cut out for it in many areas within the space to do, but the big leader we saw over the last 3 months, especially here over the last month or so, is really that emerging market space, carried in large part by China, as we see Chinese equities take up a little over a third of the broader emerging markets representative there, EEM. Those led to pretty strong performance, and especially strong performance from those momentum areas within there, with the PIE DWA emerging markets momentum ETF up over 23% there. So definitely still some places that has their work cut out for them, a little bit more work to do as we look towards the second half of the year here, but definitely moving through July and a very strong footing for the international equities space here in the near term. Looking here further, we see in commodities as well, the big leader there would have been gold, up over 13% there in the last 3 months, bringing its yearly performance over the first 6 months to 17.12% with the Spider Gold Trust, ticker GLD there. Making it the best performing ETF that we have here in this evaluation out of any of the six asset classes. So gold's one area that we've seen continued strength, especially over the last few weeks, and will definitely be a place to watch out for moving forward. On that note, some of the diversity that we see here within these positive returns, looking at the fixed income space, we note that as well had positive returns there over the last 3 months and brought its yearly returns over the first 6 months of the year there to that 5.42 average, making it the best performing area there, best performing asset class in this evaluation here out of any of the six that we're looking at. So definitely interesting to still note the positive performance there from the fixed income space. But by and large, the big outperformers there were the more risk-on asset classes that we saw there the last 3 months. Specifically, they're looking at the big outperformer being in domestic equities there, Will.
Yeah, definitely, Ian. And doubling down on that last point about the big outperformer for domestic equities, Pivoting on the platform to take a look at the S&P 500 index, the often used benchmark for the equity space and often referenced on the platform, we note a strong technical picture and chart pattern itself. Ticker symbol SPX. Right now, we have pulled up the 20-point chart, which is on the left-hand side of the page. And I will make a quick note about scaling, in that you'll often see us mention a 20-point chart, a 10-point chart, a 50-point chart, whatever you may have it. And the reason we do that is for actually a number of reasons. One thing to note is that the lower the scale, the more sensitive the chart, and the longer the scale, or excuse me, higher the scale, the less sensitive the chart. And what we're looking for is confirmation on different fronts. So from the near-term picture, that more sensitive, lower scale, what does the chart look like? From a more intermediate term, mid-scale, what does the chart look like? And then from the long term, a less sensitive scale, what does that chart look like? And when I was learning, I think something that really stuck with me when it comes to scaling and deciding what's an appropriate scale, because you can manipulate charts around to try to get it to tell you what you want it to tell you. However, an important note when it comes to scaling is that you know you have a good and/or appropriate scale when signals lead to consecutive signals. So buy signals lead to consecutive buy signals, or sell signals lead to consecutive sell signals. Again, more often than not. And additionally, changes in trend are indicative of longer-term movements in price. So that's a lot. But again, quick recap on scale: buy signals leading to consecutive buy signals, sell signals leading to consecutive sell signals, and changes in trend are indicative of longer-term movements in price. So again, that's a bit of a mouthful, but I do think that's important. And when looking at the S&P 500 here, SPX, we have the 20-point chart pulled up, most recently breaking a triple top at 3160 and continuing higher today to 3180, as indicated by that blue X there. And going back to our recent discussion on scaling, now, if we were to move this around, say we raise it to a 30-point scale, meaning less sensitive, we see the chart loading and we see another strong indication of strength, breaking a triple top at 2970 and today completing a bullish triangle to give a second consecutive buy signal at 3180. So again, strong picture there as well. And then if we want to slow the chart down even more, moving to a 50-point scale, we note here again, additional follow-through, additional confirmation, three consecutive buy signals. Currently, one box away from giving a fourth consecutive with a double top break at 3200. So, again, a lot of words there, maybe a lot of jargon, but point being is when you're looking at the S&P 500 index, look from the long term, look from the intermediate, look from the short term, and you're looking for short term leading into intermediate, intermediate leading into long term. So just a point, and that can also work for individual securities if you're looking through the volatility in the market as well. There's a lot of noise on the charts. Consider raising that scale to get a more appropriate and/or true picture of that longer-term relationship between supply and demand. Or if you're looking at a chart that's not moving that much, consider lowering your scale and try to discern a bit more granularly. Are buy signals giving consecutive buy signals, sells consecutive sells, and so on. So quick note on that, but nonetheless, no matter how you spin the scale, it's difficult to make this chart look bad for the S&P 500. Do you agree there, Ian?
Absolutely, absolutely there, Will. And I think that idea of confirmation, right? Like you said, you want your near term to confirm your intermediate to confirm your long term. And you also want different areas in the site to confirm. You want movement to be confirmed, right? And so here we have the obvious absolute movement that we see the S&P 500 continuing to advance and continuing to get fresh buy signals across the scales is definitely a positive sign for the market moving forward. And we also have other areas of the site where we can take a look at some of the S&P 500 index related areas, like we have on the asset class group scores page. On this page, we have two really main rankings that you see there in the upper left-hand corner. looking specifically at the money market percent rank and then the U.S. equity core percent rank. And that U.S. equity core percent rank, if we take that one first, is going to be looking at the S&P 500 index funds group, which is one of the 135 different groups that we track here on this asset class group scores page. That are each of those groups are going to be ranked by their respective average scores from 0 to 6. And the higher, the better. So the closer to 6, the better we see here. And we see that S&P 500 index funds currently coming in at a 4.22, putting it in pretty high position relative to the field that we have here displayed on the sectors in U.S. view. The U.S. equity core percent rank that we have there in the upper left-hand corner is essentially saying, okay, where does that S&P 500 index fund group sit? Where does our core equity market sit relative to all groups that we have, all 135 plus different areas that we examine here on this page? How strong is our core market? And we can see here that this reading is currently coming in at a reading through end of trading there last week at 82.39%. So very strong field position relative to the rest of the groups that are on the page. This is definitely a reading that has remained at more elevated positioning over the past few years, but definitely has had its ups and downs. We saw the group fall off pretty significantly down the rankings there on the broader equity market decline in March. And then marched back higher after that over the second quarter, continuing back up into very high field position, and then backed off a little bit with some of the volatility that we saw as we closed out the month of June, led the group to move a little bit further south and score, dropping it back below the 80th percentile for a few days there towards the end of the month. But good to see after the positive movements we've seen across the broader domestic equity space over the past 5 days or so, that the group has continued to march back higher, moving back above that 80th percentile at that 82nd percentile there. So very strong relative to the rest of the field. And on the flip side, we see that the money market percent rank, which maybe on the opposite end, instead of looking at how strong is the core market, how strong is cash relative to the rest of the groups. We have U.S. money market in here as one of the groups that we examine. And the money market percent rank in a very similar fashion to the other will be looking at, okay, what percentage of your investable market, your investable areas, is cash currently beating? That reading also saw a fair amount of movement over the past few months, moving up above 50% in the market decline that we saw, and then dropped back lower, did advance back above 30% there towards the end of June. And now again, with the continued upside, that risk-on sentiment we've seen over the past few days, moved a bit further south, back below 30%, down in the 25th percentile. So really the line of demarcation we typically use for that money market percent rank is going to be 50% is the kind of initial one. And so good to see it down towards needs to at least double itself to get back above that threshold from here. So stronger core equity market, weaker cash, indicative of that risk on movement we've seen, and we see that displayed in many of the other groups toward the top end of these rankings as well, specifically the more risk on growth oriented sector groups, internet, biotech, technology, 1, 2, and 3 that we see here on this page. You have large cap growth, mid cap growth, small cap growth, all found above the average score of 4.0, a blue sky zone, as we would call it. But it's not only equity that we see here scoring above 4.0. We see a fair amount of fixed income representatives in here as well. And we also see precious metals scoring in the an average score of 4.44 on the backs of some of that improvement that we've seen there in gold recently. So definitely it's interesting to see the diversity that we see at the top of this page and speaks to the broad strength that we've seen for many areas. It wasn't only domestic equities that moved higher there in the second quarter. As we mentioned there with the performance overview, gold moved higher, fixed income had positive returns. So definitely an interesting mix of names that we have at the top end of this page, but does speak to the significance or the helpfulness that this fund score evaluation can have, giving you strength in different areas and strength within each of those asset classes to pick out which areas might be those places that you want to monitor here as we head through the second half of the year here, Will.
Yeah, for sure, Ian. And so far, we've been talking macro. We talked about absolute strength for the equity core. We talked about absolute and relative strength for the groups that we've seen on the platform, highlighting those that are exhibiting the highest degree as of lately, again, in that blue sky zone. And maybe to get a bit more tangible, a bit more close to practice management, things of that sort, a great way to kind of conceptualize and build out the concepts is through the models page. And again, point being, we ended a quarter, we ended a month. I think this page in particular, reviewing the models that you currently employ a strategy with or are interested in for more of an indicator perspective, perhaps following a sector rotation model to get a feel for how their relative strength is guiding that more thematic space. So again, maybe visiting the models page month end, quarter end could be useful. And what we have pulled up here is the models page sorted by activity. And again, all these column headers are sortable. So we simply checked or clicked the upper right hand side under actions/activity. And the reason we did that is to demonstrate and show the recent activity that we've seen across the models being month end and or quarter end. So you'll note a few large names, large cap core model in particular, had a fair amount of changes. Five trades, so five buys, five sells. We also note a few other models near the top in terms of changes. NDX model noted a few changes as of lately, as well as that core solution, all cap world monthly eval model also sought changes, followed by the ESG top 20 stock model. So again, I'm just picking a few here to highlight. And I'll also mention that in light of previous conversations, we find it also important to, we say, know what you own a lot. And that's important, but when starting to build models together, starting to look forward for the second half of 2020, I think it's also important to remember and think of how your models play together. Meaning, do they play together well? Or do they tend us to step on one another's toes? And going a step further, note the universe of some of these models. So large cap core, a large universe, blue chip, NDX, smaller satellite stock portfolios. Note that those models, if you're owning all of them at the same time, you could be buying a stock in one and selling it in another, which could create some needless turnover. But nonetheless, just wanted to make a point in that check the activity of these models. Use the alert functionality if you don't already going forward for that blue bell icon. If you like a favorite model, again, just to reference, see how it's picking up changes in the market. Use that star icon. And then just final more qualitative note, again, note the holdings, but also note the universe. So what the model could own and assess how that would play well together with the other models. So again, Ian, any more thoughts on the models page as we wrap up our chat today?
No, I think that's good. As you mentioned there, I mean, we have the info files that are meant to show some of that structure and methodology behind them. Great reference point, which will be coming out with the quarterly updates for each of those here shortly. So nice client friendly there as well. But yeah,
for sure. Well, that said, we won't keep chatting. We do appreciate everyone that's listening. And we also want to make it known that never hesitate to give us a call at 804-320-8511 or shoot us an email at dwa@dorseywright.com. We really enjoy this stuff. And whether it's finding something on the platform, looking at individual investments, we're always happy to help. So that said, Ian, thanks for having me on. And for everyone watching, thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.